First up, we're going to talk about the quantity determination that we're currently working on, the tip schedule, analysis assumptions, the, it's underway. We've made some progress on pulling together our regional emissions analysis. I don't know. Cheryl, do you want to give them a little update on this?
Well, like I said, we've started working on the regional emissions analysis. We're kind of here parallel tracking that we've worked on the Mobile 6 emissions model, and Lumina has been doing sensitivity runs with the MOVES model to see how we come out. So we haven't really distributed any of our assumptions with like the modeling inputs because we're not sure which direction we're going. But we're getting closer to having an answer to what, which way we'll use. And the TIF applications from the local sponsors were due March 8th, so transportation is evaluating them right now, and they expect evaluation for CMAQ projects and SPPS to be complete hopefully by the end of next week. And then they'll be presenting them to the Transportation Planning Committee here in Illinois. And that's about where we are, that we're still looking at a preview at the end of April.
End of April. And we're hoping that Lubna is thinking that she's going to be able to use MOVES for the whole region, but we're kind of holding our cards on that one. We still may go with back to the old using Mobile 6 plus MOVES, like we did the last, you know, with the last component. And I might just add, we've got and I think I emailed you guys this. This is the conformity, semi-annual conformity determination policy. It's going to go to the board of directors tomorrow. And that was one of the discussion items, recommendations that came out of our baseline assessment review. The whole process of trying to clean up our, you know, that 1 year we were faced with like three conformities right in a row. So we're trying to avoid that kind of a predicament with this policy. That was one of the baseline assessment recommendations. And so we're going to move ahead with that tomorrow.
That 1 year is a long amount, unless we have some more
money
identified.
Right. Doesn't seem like it. Does do another bar. Another era type of project. Any questions?
You know, it went through EAC, and so for the technology, but I mean, this hopefully the policy members understand what this would mean, and I know that there's a caveat, but I know you don't want to run it any more often than you're proposing here. It's always that one-off, you know, that project that comes along, or supplemental, or whatever.
Right.
I mean, there's always something, and hopefully the DOTs at the level of the programmers and the policy folks understand that what this means. So,
yeah, I know at MoDOT we've talked about it quite a bit. That's, you know, where we came up with the idea of doing two a year. That way, we have any projects that, you know, we see coming down the pipe, you know, to get them in either the yearly update or that other one that's halfway through. I think they're separated out enough to where we're not losing on them while there.
That's exactly the way we find it. That's either. It shouldn't make much of a difference at all. It'd be enough down the pipe.
if another round of error comes around, that's all.
Totally different story.
The policy goes out the window.
You know, even in that situation, you know, two times a year might work.
Yeah, sure. Actually, staff is hoping for one time a year or something.
Right. Well, and I think that's going to be the norm, given, you know, the lack of funding and the type of projects we're going with now, so.
When you see our program for the next few years, I'm not sure if I'm in the same boat. You don't even think about 2000.
We don't have regionally scheduled projects.
Only thing we have to worry about is snow removal, okay?
There you go. In the springtime.
Okay, well, next up on the agenda is our favorite topic. The hotspot checklist.
I handed everybody out a copy of what we cleaned the document up to be. Last time we got together, I know EPA hadn't had a chance to make any comments.
Oh, can somebody just?
Hello, logged in.
Hi there, this is Stephen Brown, EPA, Region 7.
Yes. Hi, Stephen.
And I think it was OTAC that had made the comments on the hotspot analysis. There were a lot of good comments, and I took all of them into account, and that's how I came up with the document that we have right now. One of the biggest comments was to separate PM 2.5 from CO as far as the rules go. And done that. I think the only thing left for us to do now that everybody's had a chance to comment, all of the changes that have been made, we still have thresholds for down at the bottom of page 1 and 1 and 2 that we probably need to talk about and come up with as a group. But other than that, unless anybody has any further comments, I think the document's about what we want.
Okay. Do we want to, I don't know, how do we leave it with the IDOT U of I tool that they're working on?
Well, I know she had that down here at the bottom. Did you have more information on that?
No. Where's it?
Oh, it says I got particulate matter hotspot analysis air quality modeling project.
That was probably just an oversight.
Oh, okay.
That's a gigantic typo.
No. Oh, here on the agenda.
No, that's legitimate. What we were just talking about is that process is still ongoing, and it's still ongoing. Walt Zuzniewski with IDOT is working with the U of I in Chicago on working on that model. It's just still going.
Do we want to wait for that before we move forward with adopting a document, or?
I would say no. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, because I think that model is going to be specific to, you know, the areas, the inputs, and I don't know how transferable it would be to, you know, in a different state. So,
did you have something?
No. I agree, and I think if need be, we can revisit it later.
Right.
Yeah, we could always revise. We could either revise this document or just replace it if that tool proves to be effective. Okay, well, do we want to, should we adopt this? Should we take a motion?
Since this is the first time anybody's seen it, should we just?
Well, we've kind of reviewed this a while.
We reviewed it, and we were ready to go around like last time.
I make a motion we accept this. This hotspot analysis procedure. Right.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Okay, we got a second. Any more discussion on this, or?
Oh,
I guess my first question, where it says PM 2.5 and you have the dot points, it's setting the case for this is what's going to be important, but it doesn't it really come down to the questions, like question number one? This is it. Once we face these other things, if we're over 125,000 and 10,000 trucks,
right.
I mean, that's the brutal threshold.
And that's federal. That's federal guidelines.
Well, everything is in the preamble. It's really not.
Right. That's why we've got to adopt. We've got to put certain numbers in there for what we want our number, our thresholds to be.
Yes. Because the question is in Chicago. I think obviously the volume, you get much higher amount of traffic. And here, I mean. How many roadways would even be included if you had the 125,000 threshold? If it's zero, then I guess we just said it never applies.
And that's what we have to. That's what we have to decide. How low do we want to go? That's tailoring this to this area. It's what's going to be most effective to weed out what we don't need to consider and right. Really get down to the brass tacks.
So do we know, does anybody have any feel of what kind of the volumes we have? I mean, what's the highest?
I think, maybe wrong, working with Ozone, I thought the highest, some of the highest roadways in the state were the Inter 64 project between the city and 270, that 8-mile stretch. I thought that was in the order of 275,000 a day. Is that the highest? You don't think so?
That's a lot higher than I was thinking.
Okay, well, maybe wrong.
I was thinking around 150 to 170.
What kind of truck?
Statewide.
Not a truck, I'm talking all four.
Right, I know. What kind?
But actually, wouldn't we capture a lot of St. Louis with the second question, not necessarily the first? If we hit that threshold of 10% there, and it kind of
that's what I've learned throughout this whole process is that's really what it boils down to, truck,
right.
not necessarily the overall for A18.
That would capture Hall Street, for example. Most of its traffic is truck traffic.
But 10,000 trucks a day, that's...
Yeah, that's pretty significant. And you're probably only going to see that around some kind of major transfer area.
That's a big transfer area, but I don't know if it's 10,000.
Because I don't think the percentages, and I may need to go back and talk to our BMT people, but... I don't think on any of the interstates that our percentage, truck percentage, gets up to any more than 10%.
And projects that might increase traffic to a transfer station or increase of the transfer station is exactly the type of project right. that we're supposed to get. We're not supposed to get really more than a 10 for certain other types of projects, but maybe one of the types of projects you envision this whole hotspot analysis.
You have any comments? How many tow projects do you really have? Well, what if we...
really, the 10% in the 10,000, I think, is on number two. I think, really, those are good numbers to use. The 125,000, I don't know, there's going to be very few roadways that are going to get up that high.
In St. Louis.
But maybe we reduce it down to 100,000.
The Poplar Street Bridge is one of the few that we have close to that. And once the new bridge is open, that drops all that. So.
If you get down to 50,000, AABT and you look at 10% traffic, that's only 5,000 vehicles. That would be under the
bull threshold.
Yeah, bull threshold. So,
Jim, for the new bridge, did you voluntarily do
it? Pardon? We had to do a hotspot analysis on the new Mississippi River Bridge.
Okay.
It's the only one we've ever done. I don't think you've been to any yet.
I think the reason for this coming up was that we never really considered it before.
Yeah.
I know, talking with Brad and Ray, who's a big person for NEPA over at Federal Highway Administration, they're going to expect in our NEPA documents that the question be at least
addressed.
Yeah.
And back when we did this, Carl Machiska, who had Christopher now, did work that up.
Qualitative
to other funds, but it's still, these were the only thresholds we were given even back then.
And I, from reading that hotspot analysis that was done on that bridge, you expect that to be heavy traffic on that bridge, funnel traffic, that the numbers would be high on that, but there was no impact, according to the analysis.
Also, I'm a little missing.
So.
Well, personally, I like the fact that there's a backup provision number two, because the right. threshold, and granted, it is not a hard threshold, but everybody's been using the 125 and 8%, which equals 10,000. If you don't get to 125, what happens? So that number two addresses that. One of the things I always bring up in these conversations with Walter, PM2.5 hotspot model, is what do you think Federal Highway is? Because you're the ones that have to approve the NEPA. And I mean, our input is all well and good, but if they are the ones that check yes, this is done properly, they ought to be the ones that have a very heavy vote in whether this threshold is approved. I don't know if that's you for Illinois, that's it, or that the false Brad for Region 7 is the lead agency, or
yeah, those
are Surrey's.
Yeah, or a combination thereof, yeah. Or our environmental engineers. But yeah, the second one I think is probably, I guess the point is if you put it so high that you're not going to have any.
Right. I expect that if we set it at 125 or 100,000, that number two is what is going to go through. If there is any concern, that this group is probably going to be the one to address it. If there's anything that's kind of gray area in there.
Well, if that second one, we have 10%. And are at least 10,000 trucks, maybe we should consider lowering the 10,000 trucks. Or should we leave it the way it is, the way it reads? What's your thinking on that? I mean, there was your concern about it being too high, thresholds
well,
too high.
I'm not sure what
your
daily numbers are. Like
I said, I think the 10% or 10,000 trucks number is what we need to stick with.
Stick with that.
Whether we change the 125,000 or not, that's a different story. But what we're trying to do is weed out the necessity to do a bunch of hotspot analyses that
they're not necessary.
Going to be foregone conclusions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, any other? Okay, that's it.
Well, no, the only other thing is, I mean, if this is, it would be for the St. Louis area, do you need the CO?
The CO is?
Oh, we just want to put
That's on the next page. That was a comment that came from OTAC that we separated PM2.5 out in two different sections because they're handled in different ways.
Yeah, if your point is not a fix, it's not a non-attainment area, but you need to see how
it's a maintenance.
Okay. But even in Illinois, they run a CO analysis. I think the NEPA people, they want to have a box checked. They said, okay, did you do a CO analysis?
Okay.
Yes, we did. Are you in a non-attainment area? Done that. We did the CO analysis.
Okay.
And they have a pre-screening model and a screening model for the refined model at the end. So they never get to the refined model because they're so clean these days. It's not an issue, but it's still something that they always make sure that they have in their review checklist and guess if they get a CO screening model.
Okay, and then how would we convey this to the sponsor or whoever we're going to share this with? I mean, is there going to be...
Well, once it gets adopted, we have quarterly meetings at our district. Share it with the group there. And as far as local project sponsors...
It'll be same.
That's a reason for leaving it on the team.
Okay, well, we've got a motion on the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. And then we have final hot spot analysis. Okay, next, the update on the, and this is again, we emailed out a bunch of stuff on the consultation guide. And here again, that was another thing that was in the baseline assessment. So we've got a bunch of stuff that goes with this. Well, you know, we'll have, I think, how many appendices will go with this, Carol? About four or five, right?
Yes.
Do you have the list there? You can...
Yes. Right now, we're proposing the guide would be 8 elements. The draft guide that you have in your hands, we sent out the Missouri Transportation Conformity Rules, the a draft checklist we developed in-house for the see if we covered everything in the documentation, and then the table that had the roles and responsibilities from the FHA Transportation Basic Guide. We also in this notebook or guide would be the project strength screening criteria that you all should have from February 2012, the baseline assessment review report from March 2012. Now we can add the hotspot consideration document. We were holding off which version, what to include. And the other item was the December 2012 baseline assessment spreadsheet. So we held back on that because we keep refining the responses and you should have that. I think Brad has sent that out to you, so you all should have that if you don't. And that's, I think, where we are with the documents.
So summarize that last document.
The spreadsheet that had the recommendations and actions and what was the status report.
Oh, okay.
I think I just talked to Jim Wild, and I know Brad was waiting on some final tweaks to that document.
Yeah. Right.
Jim just told me that he sent it out this morning.
And along with that, we're finalizing the conformity managers, all of the questions that were raised at those sessions, we're finalizing that as well at the same time. So all of that will be combined. We'll have that in our report.
In the document that Brad is forwarding on, Michael J.
So it's going to be a fairly sizable document, but I think it'll be useful for, people come and go, and there's new faces, so it'll be a useful thing to have to kind of review and...
Well, I don't know if there's any thought to having this would be the guts of it.
You're right.
How to distill this. I mean, I'm looking at Christopher. He's the newest one. For how do you convey these requirements and expectations to a new member? And a lot of people, like you said, they come and go, and how can this be educating, you know, how can this be conveyed? I know you feel, well, here are some 100 pages well rated, but, things, you know, some things are probably very important, depends upon where you're coming from.
That one thing we sent out from the Federal Highway, from their confirmed user guide, that table is excellent. I mean, it spells out all of the roles and responsibilities for each of the agencies.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, that'll be useful for, you know, new folks on the committee, so. And hopefully this will be useful. I think it'll be, the whole thing will kind of fit together in a smooth way. So, we're still working on it. If you guys have all the pieces that you can comment on, or if you want to add or subtract something, let us know. And we're going to just continue on. And with that, if there's no other comments.
What's the next step on this? I mean, I made a lot of comments as well. I think I was just kind of.
Well, we're going to pull together all these pieces once we get Brad's final version of the bar report, and we'll put together a, why don't we call it a final draft of all the, you know, the main document and the appendices, and have one more last look at it, and then we'll just finalize it.
Something finalized by the end of June.
In June, we're supposed to have it done. That was the schedule.
So we have a meeting to
have a final draft going.
So do you have a date? Do you want final comments on this?
It would be helpful if we could get them by, let's say, the end of May and integrate it the latest. Or maybe you can get the next end of April. Why don't we say the end of April?
It's April 23rd. It's nice here.
Okay.
Part of that?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Okay, and then.
Jason, how's the tip bag?
The tip.
Just
equation. Right now I'm in the middle of it, so we've gone through and got all the projects compiled. Just starting evaluation. Right now, the estimate is going to go to CMAQ if they start that later this week. But hopefully, have recommendations to the transportation planning committees in the middle of April. With that said, the CMAQ applications, I forwarded them on to the Federal Highways in Illinois and to Missouri for them to evaluate, make sure that the project scopes are eligible for CMAQ funds. We've done this for the last probably 3 or 4 years now, just to make sure that something doesn't happen. Almost go to construction. They're not eligible for CMAQ funds. So I mean, that's where we're at in the process. So once we get the IDOT and MoDOT programs, which should hopefully be coming in the next week, we'll be working with our air quality, with our modeling to get those projects tomorrow. IDOT tomorrow. And MoDOT.
Is that the final official sign off from the governor?
Is that fair?
No, this is your secret.
This is a secret.
You know, like a coder, plug it in without telling anybody.
He has a briefcase he carries. Yeah,
like,
the
problem with that.
Sheriff's going to have to come
back. So you don't have a date for that project?
No, that'll be probably the first week of April. So March, April 5th.
Could you copy me on that email with the CMAQ projects that you sent?
To Brad? Yeah, I guess. So moving along.
Okay, good deal. And last, I think Bruce just mentioned.
Mike and I were talking because it's one of the research projects underwritten by the feds and Illinois going on right now is, I always say this wrong, but it's an effort to integrate, that's the right word, the whole NEPA process with IDOT and our Illinois MPO's planning process for the purpose of streamlining things and getting things accomplished a lot faster. The University of Illinois is doing the study, and they are going to talk to people from every MPO in the state And unfortunately, I lost the vote. I didn't get East West Gateway on the technical review panel, but it's a matter of numbers. We have one from Rockford, your environmental person in District 8, and Chicago is on it, and so on and so forth. So that's going to proceed. The next step is to do very extensive interviews through a survey. Like we're talking 90 minutes worth of it. Mike's going to help us get the opinions from here. We're moving this along. We're fairly excited about it. My function is to illustrate this thing. The experts like Walt and many others are guiding this, and I think it's going to be, I think there are four states that have made significant progress in this respect, Colorado, Indiana. I can't remember the other two, but we hope for some good results.
Good deal. When will this?
When does that conclude? I think it concludes in December of 14, or maybe the summer.
Okay.
It's got another 18 months or so. I think that's right.
Okay. Anything else for the committee? If not, meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was all good.